tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Buzz After Show, now brought to you with 100% less karaoke.
Oh my god.
I forgot about
How
that.
How dare you bring that back?
I purged that from my brain.
We're never going to let it go. Anyway, tonight we are talking to you guys about Season 3, Episode 9, Closure.
Whoa, what was that?
Time loop.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff. Joining me on the panel tonight, Jesse Klein.
Hey everyone, you can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. Oh my god.
Yeah. Zach
Hey
Wilson.
Hey guys, I'm Zach Wilson. On Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Oh.
Joyce Ajuri.
Understatement, understatement. Hey guys, you can find me on Twitter at Jay Ajuri. Tweet me over there.
And I've got you guys in the live chat.
Fantastic. Yeah. And guys, I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me directly at TheManguin. That's TheManguin. We're also keeping an eye, in addition to the live chat, we're also keeping an eye on Twitter with the hashtag ABTVShield. So be sure to tweet us your feels. And I think what you're all trying to say is,
I stayed off Twitter. I did see a couple tweets where people were like, that is all I'm going to say. Yeah. Oh my God. And I'm like, no, I can't read anything.
We had to cut off Twitter hours before.
Because I saw eight tweets pop up at like 7 o'clock and I'm just like, nope.
We love your enthusiasm, but I had to stay away.
I did open Twitter at like 6:09, which would be 9:09 on the East Coast. And I saw the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Twitter for a brief second. And all it said was, the director is pissed.
No kidding.
It didn't say, whoopsie daisies.
Oh my gosh. God.
If Quake ever screws up, we better call it a whoopsie daisy.
Oh my God, yes.
You know what? I'll allow it. I'm emotionally compromised enough to allow that pun.
Doesn't it feel, by the end of this episode, though, that Roz was ages ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot happened in this episode.
I mean, that's, again, this show just... For whatever faults, and I don't think this is a perfect episode, but for whatever faults are there, this show is lights out, just packing story in the best way, week to week, in a way that it never feels slow. It never feels like it's wasting your time, or like there hasn't been a filler episode in dozens of episodes.
Yeah.
I agree. And I feel like this episode, they did a lot of hard-hitting moments that I don't think I've experienced with S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, at least not in this way. Like, it was kind of like Game of Thrones slash The Walking Dead type thing.
It was a very Walking Dead moment, or a very Game of Thrones moment. And obviously it's a different writer, but it was a very Joss Whedon thing to do, killing somebody mid-sentence. So,
especially,
heartbreaking.
I mean, we should have known they were having a really nice moment.
Yeah.
Burgers and wine.
Why can't Coulson just find love?
Well, and it's so frustrating.
He found it. Let him have it.
He found love in a hopeless place. But it's just so frustrating because even when they're sitting down and having this nice meal, we're making snacks. Snide comments about how we still don't trust you, Roz. Yeah, idiot, stupid like a fox. Yeah, I'm sure she's just gonna be laughing all the way to the bone. And then she got shot in the throat.
Yeah,
and everything, all of my words just left, and I cried. We shouted.
We disrupted other shows. Rennie Guima in the chat room says, "I woke up half of the house with my no Roz."
Yeah, that was an amazing way to start the show, because throughout the show I was like, oh man, any of these people could die. Like, I genuinely thought, like, they could, like, I thought, like, Fitz was gonna kill himself, like, in a way to save Simmons. Like, it seemed like it was kind of...
Or when Banks' gun was pointed at them.
Like,
who knew what was gonna happen? I feel like this kind of changes the tone of the show. I mean, Roz wasn't like a huge character yet, but I feel like it still now makes us expect something else.
What this feels like to me is, because season three, it's definitely had high stakes and everything like that, but I feel like it was a lot lighter in tone than season two was. Season two, in terms of pacing and tone, were very, very dark and very, very fast. I feel like from the very beginning of this episode, we were launched right back into season two in terms of dark, gritty, it's not going to let you breathe, it's just go, go, go the entire episode.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's kind of the way this show has been done. Like, this entire season, they're getting all of their exposition out through action scenes or through character scenes, and it's made the show feel like its foot is on the pedal the entire time. Like, there's never a time where it feels like there's just someone, like, standing like, this is what's going on. We have to have this scene to explain what's going on so that that further on, we can have a lot of action and things happening. It's like, no, you're getting that while things are happening. There's exposition happening while, like, people are fighting or someone's getting shot in the neck and someone is on the phone. I mean, Coulson went full on, like, he was such a you can see that he's been an agent for such a long time. Like, seeing him take out all of those Hydra goons.
Like, yeah, that was like Bourne Identity, yeah. John Wick style.
I love that compressed air can on top of the candles. That's like giving me some notes for like if my house ever gets broken into. I'm like, that's what I'll do.
I need a scientist to call and be like, would that work?
We need some consultation on this. But watching this, I felt almost like I was watching Liam Neeson in Taken, where, you know, Coulson's got Ward on the phone like, you know, I have a very particular set of skills. I will find you and I will kill you. But I gotta plow through all these guys first.
Yeah. I mean, and it felt like... I mean, we saw Ward packing up that sniper rifle, but as soon as Roz got shot, I was like, oh no, Coulson, get down. He was like standing up still. I was like, no, get down.
That was his like initial shock moment.
Yeah.
He couldn't register what was going on.
For the record, keep the blinds closed from now on. Like, even Ward was closed. Far, far away, but just keep them closed.
Or like, they're eating fast food. Eat in the kitchen. Eat on the kitchen counter.
You know what? Eat
Why
under the table.
Have a fancy table
just
set?
Eat under the table from now on. Everyone, eat under the table.
It's the only or way like to stay
bulletproof
safe.
Glass, or yeah, like sure. In your fancy white rooms. I can't remember if this is from like one of our panel, this panel, or like another one. But somebody in the chat, Fantasy Stats Guru, just goes, Ward is a douche canoe.
Yes. Does I mean I know that a lot of. Especially younger fans who happen to be women, like that they, for the longest time, have still carried a torch for Ward, and that a lot of people, for one reason or another, that I don't understand why, still rally behind him in this corner. And to an extent in this episode, you can see he still has at least some smidgen of humanity.
Well, I think really it comes down to that people... And I've felt the same way for a while about Ward, because we all like a redemption story.
Of course.
We want to believe that no matter how far we've sunk, we can come back. Or that, like, or you're in just complete denial that he's bad at all, and he's been a sleeper agent this whole time. At this point, we've gone too far. We're past that. But I think that was why, for a long time, people held on to it, is they liked this guy. They really liked this new character.
Like, when he was and good, so, he was good.
Well, so when he turned touched, evil...
I think they touched on that in that really well-shot interrogation-like scene, just the interview scene. They kind of touched on it that... What Ward needed more than anything else was for you to think of him as a hero. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that is very likable about that character, and like the way he's been played, even while he's been a bad guy. And it's a trope. People talk about it. The bad guys don't think they're bad guys, but they don't necessarily think they're heroes either. But Ward does think he's a hero.
Very much thinks he's the hero of his own story.
Yeah.
He's the protagonist. It's everybody else's fault.
I mean, even his brother Thomas was saying he tried to justify, you know, his killings. Like, he would kill people, he would hurt people, but he convinced himself that it was the right thing to do and it was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, well, this episode played directly with the idea of who's the hero, who's the villain, when... Coulson goes like goes rampage mode.
Yeah, he went all Rambo on everybody. And yeah, there's a moment where I even out loud I said, "Our heroes?"
Yes.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
I mean, they like storm in guns blazing into a jewelry store. I did love Hunter's line though, where he's like, "Does anybody need explaining on what to do next?" Yeah.
No heroes today.
He had a lot of good lines. He had a couple of good lines.
Yeah. Today. Yeah. He had a lot of really good lines. Today.
And also, I was thinking about it. I was like, if Coulson wasn't there with them, it's kind of like because Hunter is Hunter, like it would have been fine. Like, if they'd gone in there and taken Baby Ward and put a gun against his head and, like, you know, threatened Ward with his life. You're like, the Hunter is a rogue. He's a loose cannon. Like, he fought a guy and beat him to death not that long ago. It would be okay if Hunter did that. But the addition of Coulson, it's like, Coulson's supposed to be our shining light. Like, he's supposed to help us know which is the right way and which isn't. And now he is just like, I guess seeing someone you're dating get shot through the neck really makes you make some life decisions. And,
yeah. I'll say.
And it could lead to erratic behavior.
Which I guess could be Ward's justification. Which is his justification.
Sure. Even, when we get towards the end of this episode, even now Ward is still like, S.H.I.E.L.D. murdered Kara, not I shot her in the chest because they tricked me, you know, they outsmarted me. It was very much S.H.I.E.L.D. murdered her. Like, he didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I mean, the only reason they were in that situation was because Ward kidnapped Bobby.
Exactly. Like, and tortured her.
And tortured her.
Remember the friggin' nails?
I tried to stop remembering the nails.
Oh, God, that
but
was the worst.
I'm sorry, Zach. It looked like you were going to jump in at one point.
I was.
I apologize. But I do want to say, and feel free to interject if it comes back, because that's the way it goes. But I do want to say that from a casting standpoint, I am, on the one hand, because Roz as a character is very, very interesting. She always kept us on our toes. The dialogue was great. So it's such a loss to see that gone now. But also just from a casting perspective, I love Constance Zimmer.
Yeah.
She is fantastic, and I'm so saddened and angry to see her go. And that's what good writing does.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah,
also really phenomenal casting, too.
Also,
and I feel like she's been fridged, and I feel like a character like that didn't deserve to be.
All theories dead.
Yeah, yeah, so
dead.
All of our theories are
shot.
So much for Sword.
No Sword. No Madam Hydra. No Mystique. I saw someone thought she was Mystique.
All right, well, that's,
like, which is
that's
impossible.
Stretchy.
Mystique is like, you almost got the Mystique.
Yeah, yeah.
Cough.
Nothing. Like, she's now, it's just gone.
Yeah, every bit of forward momentum, every line of potential storylines that could have been just winked out in a moment.
I'm just going to miss their chemistry.
Yeah, their
so
chemistry was
much.
So good.
I mean, it's to the very last line that she had, their chemistry was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really did connect because they were peas in a pod. Mm-hmm. Like, they were both directors of, like, secret organizations.
Like, they got each other.
But out clandestine organizations working for good.
Yeah.
And, like, how many directors of that who are single and of the appropriate attractive gender are you going
to
meet?
That brings me to remembering that she was like, I'd swipe left in this situation.
He's like, I don't even know what that means.
Referencing Tinder, I cried a little on the inside.
I'm going to guess that Coulson's going to end up hooking up with an alien chick. That's my guess.
There's your pie in the sky prediction.
That's my pie in the sky prediction. He and Sif.
I mean,
son of
Cole. Who wouldn't be happy to, you know, get with Jamie Alexander? I mean, yeah, that's fantastic. But
yeah, she's a little too tatted now for Coulson's taste.
Darn.
I was going to say, yeah, it's such a shame that we probably won't see her for a while because of Blindspot. But, you know, good for her for getting a lead role in another series.
She's going to be in Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Cool. We'll see her soon.
But I imagine just that her filming schedule is super busy, so harder to get her on for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Anywho, I know we could probably spend the entire hour just talking about this opening scene,
yeah.
but we really should probably move on a little bit.
Driving us forward, like, is in Coulson's rampage
yes.
mode.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys
sure.
and for the chat. Where is the board?
Yeah.
We've had so many people over the course of the last few weeks tweeting us going, hey, wasn't there like a board? Because we knew that a couple of them died, obviously, at the end of the last season. But where has Agent Weaver been this entire season?
That was the whole agreement at the end of New Shield. Was that
New Shield with a U?
Yeah, yeah, New Shield umlaut.
but they came together to be one shield. But the agreement was that the board would oversee everything and ultimately have like a certain amount of judgment and decision making over the director. In this case, the director flies off the handle, leaves,
just,
and then just appoints a new director, who's a
it's
bunch of steps
day.
Lower than...
just real quickly, Monocow333 just gave us Coulsif as the ship name for them.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's too soon,
and
guys.
My
heart
have,
is
like,
still
like, a certain
broken.
Amount of judgment.
Oh, another time loop.
Yeah,
time loop.
Crazy with the time loops.
What is happening?
Anyway, but yeah, it's very, very frustrating to see Coulson, who, as you said, is this paragon of justice in our eyes, go off the handle. And the only time I even remember him ever coming close to this was when... Daisy, was initially, turned into an inhuman
yeah.
officially, and he just murdered each and every one of the heads of Hydra. That is the closest I've ever seen to him going off the rails like he did in this episode. And to have him basically say, as the director, I wash my hands of this. Here, you are director now, yeah. and then jump yeah. out of a plane.
This is one of the few times that we've seen Coulson, like, act at the seat on the seat of his pants. Like, he's not thinking ahead as much as we're used to seeing him. Like, everything that he's doing is like decided on the fly, but this time it's super personal and it's
yeah.
driven for way different reasons,
and
it's just a weird way to see him.
Yeah, and I get the driven crazy by grief thing.
Oh, yeah. I get it too.
It didn't feel like Coulson.
Yeah,
and I get that that's the point. But this was so, for someone who deals with this so constantly, it was a very knee-jerk reaction that I wouldn't have expected from this character.
It is, however, thematically on point with this first half of the season, where they showed Hunter and his reaction to Bobby almost dying, and then they showed May with her reaction to all of the stuff with her husband and her ex-husband, and like it seems like the themes that they're going for with this season is like how these people are affected personally by their job. There is that bigger story, the portal, all of this kind of stuff, but it seems a lot of the theme of this season is how these people's lives outside of S.H.I.E.L.D. and who they are as humans are affected by the job.
Yeah.
Well, and I think another, kind of to touch on that, I think another theme, just since you brought it up, is kind of looking at each and every one of these is what good people are capable of when they are pushed to the breaking point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned at the beginning of the season that PTSD is just something that everyone is experiencing this season.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And if they haven't, they're going to.
Yeah. No one's getting out of this one clean.
No.
Yeah.
So I do want to talk a little bit more about Director Mac, but I know that obviously we have a lot of strong feelings about this episode. Is there anything else anybody wants to touch on in terms of this opening scene before we move forward?
No.
That was a lot of blood.
Stupid show, why are you so good? So I do want to talk about Director Mac, because he was probably, as dark and gritty as this episode was, seeing him kind of
so
finagle his way around his first day as director was very endearing and very relatable, because everybody's had a first day on the job. Could anybody imagine what the first day as director of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be like?
His first call was just like, so Fitzsimmons is kidnapped. Like, I expected.
Coulson's probably thinking, like, Mac, you're not supposed to call me right now.
I expected Coulson to have been like, it's been 3 hours. How did that happen?
I leave you alone for 3 hours and Hydra takes them away?
To be fair, at a normal job, your boss would be shadowing you to make sure you're doing okay.
Sure.
Mac was just thrown to the wolves.
Like, yeah. Step it up. No choice. Sink or swim, buddy.
I commend him for being brave enough to ask for the help that he shouldn't have asked for.
It's all riding on you now, buddy.
Bye. Jumps out of a plane.
Literally, that's like how you would joke about like it happening. But he's like, nope, get on this plane, I'm gonna jump out of it.
I just related to Max so much in this moment because that's how I am whenever I'm like, it's my first day, where's my supervisor? I don't know how to be here.
What forms do I fill out?
I just got here.
Who do I go to for? Nobody? Okay.
And like the first time somebody walks up and asks a question, I need to call Coulson. So I did love his scene confiding in May and talking with May. And I also really liked the moment he had with Daisy, too, because Daisy's very much a let's go in, guns blazing as well, because even if you don't have a plan, it's better than doing nothing. Being proactive is good. But as the director, he needs to sit down and, like, lay down the law. But having no idea what he's doing, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah.
People in the chair are saying, Director Max, Marco Magro says, Director Max, first order to the lab techs downstairs is shotgun axe.
Yes. greatest accomplishment.
Just like him in front of a like a blackboard with a picture of a shotgun and a picture of an axe with an addition symbol in between them.
Yeah. That's like if this was like early season one still, we'd see Fitz and Simmons down there doing that exact thing. Yeah, exactly. with 80s montage music in the background.
Step one, axe gun. Step two, Step three, profits.
Yeah, it's like axe gun or shotgun axe.
For some reason, that like image was played in my head as a Valve source maker, source movie maker.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Scene to me, like I feel like Mac can be easily duplicated or replicated in that. if someone can do that, that'd be awesome.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say the bigger implications from Max being director now is he has effectively let loose the secret warriors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about this moment when he was asked what he was going to do, because I do wish you guys could see our reactions when we watched this episode, because immediately one person went in, send in the cavalry, and then somebody else went, send in secret warriors, and then I don't remember what the third one was, but we all yelled out something different.
I know I was the one who yelled cavalry. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I was secret warriors.
And then I believe it was you, Joyce, who was like, axe guns!
Yeah.
Maybe.
But yeah, those were the reactions that we had. So, anyway, we do have a comment on the hashtag that I want to say. From H21Triple, thank you for discussing S.H.I.E.L.D. eps every week with such knowledge and passion. Hashtag ABTV S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
cool.
Obviously, we're very passionate about this episode tonight.
I'm very emotional.
Very emotional.
I have PTSD after watching this.
Speaking of PTSD, we should probably move on to talking about Fitz and Simmons.
God, that was tough too.
Everything was tough. This was tough.
This was actually where I thought they held back, and maybe it was just a time thing. But I thought we were going to get some way more torturous moments out of this Fitz Simmons.
It might have been cut
torture stuff.
It might have been stuff that the networks had cut it. This is too dark for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But this isn't Jessica Jones. This isn't Daredevil.
Yeah.
Cut it.
She also didn't look like she was like as hurt as bad as it sounded.
Yeah.
Like physically she had maybe like a scab or, you know, a scrape on her head and something on her chest, but I was expecting her to come out really like
really messed up.
Mangled. Yeah.
Yeah. I did sort of expect Ward to go with the most messed up route.
Yeah.
I thought what he was going to do is park them in chairs across from each other, and knowing how he knows how to break Fitz, he's just gonna start going at Gemma in front, because Because that's the thing, is that the worst pain, the way that to torture is not to cause pain to people who have been trained for it. And maybe Fitzsimmons aren't the best, but they could deal with some. But to cause pain to somebody else that you know that they would want to stop is the quickest way. And that's eventually what he does. I just pictured a much more sadistic version.
Yeah, I was very relieved that they didn't show, like, as intense with Bobby. Like, for some reason, because Bobby is a fighter,
this is the job
agent.
She signed up for.
Yeah.
Fitz and Simmons are scientists.
Either Fitz or Simmons, it would be really hard to see them get tortured. I think they probably made that choice. I think it's a good choice, too. Like, I think it's the right choice. It would have been really hard to see either of them get hurt like that.
Yeah. Well, and we see how quickly Ward, you know, first of all, he's still a manipulative sociopath and a monster. Yeah. I think we can all agree he's a monster. But then this, you know, and he starts off, you know, the game by saying, Gemma, you know I'd never do anything to hurt you. He might, on the other hand. I'm going to go talk to Fitz. But then the second Coulson gets under his skin, what does he do?
He throws a phone.
He throws a phone and then rushes right back to Simmons and starts personally torturing her. So if anybody thinks he has any sort of moral code that he's abiding by, we can see that he does not.
I forgot if this is what Simmons has said during her interrogation with Coulson about Ward, but did Ward mention... Or did she say that Ward would never hurt her, too? Did she mention that to him?
She mentioned how he saved her and how she had a little... She was attracted to him afterwards because he's very handsome and, you know...
Yeah, but she's not what he needed or wanted at that time.
Well, she could tell that he fancied someone else.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, it was very clear.
Because I was going to say, if she said that he would never hurt her... That goes to show how little they knew about Ward or thought they knew about Ward and how much he knows about them in order to manipulate them as bad as he did. Because, he knew right away to separate the two. Like, it was...
Yeah.
There was no question about that. But
that was the best way to get results.
Yeah. And, I mean, we haven't even talked about it at all, but, Banks also died.
Mm-hmm.
The bank was closed. And we saw more.
Well done, sir.
We saw more of this inhuman who is using his telekinesis.
Yeah, if we're gonna have him be recurring now,
I would like a name.
I would like a name. I would like to know who he is. I want to know his story. If he's gonna be around,
have we just been calling him Push?
I'm calling him Iron Chef guy.
I've been calling him Push. You've been calling him Iron Chef.
He does.
He is the Iron Chef guy.
He is? Yeah. Okay.
He's the American Iron Chef host.
I thought he looked familiar.
I just can't remember his
name. I'm
going to
keep calling him Push.
The secret ingredient is superpowers. Begin.
The secret ingredient is fish oil.
Death.
Fish oil or death.
But he is a very... I would never guess that he's on a cooking show because he is such an imposing, menacing figure
he's
in this show. He's very intimidating.
It just changed my entire watch of his character now.
Well, he's very much an actor on Iron Chef. He's not he knows about food, but he's got a really good character on that
now
show.
I'm just picturing him as a chef, levitating all this food around him in the kitchen and just making this masterpiece.
And, chopping it in the air.
Well, here's a question. Have we seen him manipulate anything that wasn't metal?
I think what it was, because, it seemed to be more metal-related, but Banks seemed to be frozen when the gun was turning on him. So I think it's implied that he just has general telekinesis in terms of he can pick up a lot of different things, that it's not just metal. Because I feel like an agent like Banks would fight. You know, he wouldn't just stand there and take the bullet. I feel like it was the telekinesis keeping him in place.
And also, just manipulating metal is very reminiscent of the X-Men. And I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, it's a little risky.
That does... there's a little bit of a fine line. And even,
we get our
even,
butt sued.
And even then, it's a little bit too close to what Joey's power is, which is, very...
He manipulates metal.
Metal-related.
Or he melts it.
He
or
melts
destroys it.
He can reform it, all that other stuff. But it was such a shame to see both him and Roz go in the same episode. That was very frustrating because as soon as Roz went and we see Banks being on the team, we're like, hey,
Banks would be
fun.
Yeah.
Maybe Banks... No, he is dead now. he's dead. But let's talk about Hydra's plan a little bit, because their whole plan is that with the five stones that were taken out of the monolith, they can essentially create their own portal to the planet anywhere they want, as long as they can create a room with the right frequencies. Yeah. And they, now that they have Fitz and Simmons, they want to open up the portal and go bring that Inhuman back, which I kind of hope it's like Hellraiser or something on the other side, something that's just going to tear them apart the second it comes through the portal. Is that wrong? Is that wrong to hope for that?
I mean,
nah, we need some action.
Yeah, it's a good hope, but I don't think what's going to happen. I honestly think that the best way to close Ward's story is he dies saving Fitz.
I'm a hero!
Exactly. Like, I think that's the best. I think that's, like, if
delusional
till
the end.
If he dies on this planet, it's because he's saving Fitz somehow, and that's his last action. So even then, we don't even get the, like, feeling of, like, oh, I hate that guy so much. We don't even get that satisfaction, because then we get, like, oh, man.
That makes sense, given the fact that what Fitz said about how Ward, there was one thing Ward could never let go of.
Yeah.
And, or there was one thing that he felt like he was always trying to replace. I'm getting the words wrong, but that was during his interrogation scene with Coulson. And, you know, if Ward always wanted to, like, be there to protect his little brother the way he thought he would protect him, and he never got to because Thomas distanced himself, then Fitz would be the perfect way to make up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about Fitzsimmons, and I want to talk more about Thomas, but I do want to take a moment, if we're at a good place, to talk about iTunes really quick. Folks, thank you so, so much, as always, for everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and leave a comment. Your guys' comments totally, totally make my week. It is literally my favorite part of the week, getting to hear what you guys have to say about the show. Do we have some up?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have time to hear what everybody has to say.
A lot of people talk.
But I want to thank the people who did write in. 5x5 79, love it, 5 stars. Sal D 6, great after show. White Cat 11, this is awesome. Saturn 9 Kalina, this is, love this podcast, lots of comics knowledge, fun predictions, and ship happy panelists. Super Fantastic Girl, I freaking love this show. I'm just reading titles because there's so many. Written Angel Marie, it's the compendium you never thought to ask for.
Ooh, a compendium.
I like that. Yeah, I like that word. Yeah.
That's good.
Compendium. Jaunty B24. Dope podcast, love you guys. Glitter Frog 3, 5 stars, of course. And then a winking tongues out face. Sir SH, excellent. Best recap out there from Mr. Nice Guy 80. Agent Frostbite of S.H.I.E.L.D. says 5 stars. Great podcast and my favorite for this show. Mr. Poop Magoo, you make my walk to work worth it. You are absolutely my favorite podcast out there. I walk 3 miles to and from work every day, and it takes me just about an hour, and I just have been binge listening to you guys the whole time.
Aww. That's cool.
That's so sweet.
Carso26 says, such a great show. This is one of my favorite AfterBuzz shows. These guys and girls clearly love this show as much, if not more, than I do. Messiah 85, this is great show, great cast, a must see for anyone who's a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nuff said.
Aww.
Nuff nice said. Nice little super deep Marvel reference there.
That's it. Plain and simple.
S.H.I.E.L.D. intern number
33
says,
not 33,
a new beginning, just finished binge watching all of season 1 to 3. Octopuses are scary.
Yes, octopuses are scary.
Yeah. I guess it's actually proper English, and that's what they use.
Yeah.
I was adding bad English to what they wrote.
Way to go.
I don't know whether to fear the Inhumans Simmons or Hydra Moore? CT Yankee 006, excellent podcast. Alias Investigations intern. We shall beat Scandal.
Yeah.
This after show is always a fun, good time. You guys are funny, informative, entertaining. You all have these comic book tidbits that I miss and some that I'm glad I'm not the only one who spotted them. As stated before, we shall beat Scandal.
Heck yeah.
By the way, guys, we're at 499 ratings.
Oh my
right
god.
Now. 499. Yeah. That is insane. Thank you guys.
That's really cool.
Phil Coulson's left hand.
The back saga again. Continues
says, without fail.
Answer time. Wait, is it the 500th review? Close.
No.
Close.
Left hand, close. To answer your questions, yes, I am in this box. Yes, I have Wi-Fi. Yes, holding this Terrigen crystal gets really annoying after months.
I don't know how he can type and hold on to that at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, I don't have ears. Yes, I listen to this podcast, obviously. Yes, I somehow write reviews without the use of my occupied fingers. Yes, I use review writing as a way to raise awareness for my cause. Yes, my cause is map test. Me and Phil throughout eternity saving citizens. Yes, I realize the T is in the middle of citizens. Yes, I am awesome. Someone really asked that? That shouldn't be a question. Of course I'm awesome.
Great.
You are Phil Coulson's left hand.
I can't.
You are my favorite.
You're doing great work.
I love all of you, but my God.
That is amazing.
Also, a quick reminder, we one of the cool things about our show is we have a lot of international viewers.
Yes.
If we can't see when you write comments, so if you tweet it at us or put it in the comments or anything like that,
grab.
Yeah, screen grab. We always appreciate hearing from you all over the world.
The last one, just from the U.S. one, because JillyBean729 still can't believe you sang my parody. It was always a tie between ABTV Shield and ABTV Arrow for which was my favorite. But after singing my parody on the show, you jumped to number one.
Oh, yeah.
Suck it, Arrow. Suck it.
The people on Arrow are very nice. We're all big fans of them.
Oh, yeah, we are big fans of them. They're
but
very
suck
nice.
It.
Suck it.
But
I look forward to this podcast more than the actual show at this point. Keep being awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, she's on the hashtag right now. She also says that she has strong opinions about tonight's episode. Can't blame her. But we also, just speaking of our international audience, Mr. Paul White on Twitter sent us a screen cap of his saying that he very much likes the show, but for the love of God, never sing again.
That's okay. I don't want to be the only one with that sentiment. I think we can all agree.
Also, make sure you let us know where you're checking in from. It's cool to see. I know we have a lot of fans in Brazil.
Yeah, you guys can chat with anyone's from overseas or just other states. Yeah. Let us know. I'm curious.
Okay, so let's get back to the episode.
Yes.
Time is of the essence, and not only that, we have other stuff outside of this show to talk about
as well.
Oh,
my God.
So many things. It's not like anything big happened last week, right, guys? Nothing at all whatsoever. What? So let's talk about a little bit more about Thomas, because, they kidnapped him, held him at gunpoint, like they were FaceTiming, holding him at gunpoint, and then put him on the phone with Ward. And it's one, and I think this is just because we have a general distrust of everybody new that we meet. I think we're also just so off balance from what happened to Roz at the very beginning of the episode that we look at Thomas and go, are you a sociopath too?
Yeah.
Because everyone in your family that we've met was a monster. Are you a monster too? Are you playing towards weakness in the same way that he would to anybody else he was on the phone with? So, what do you guys think? Do you think that Thomas is the only good member of Ward's family, or do you think he's just as manipulative as Ward?
I mean, I think from what we've seen, it seems like he's is a good guy. He found a way to disappear from Ward and work at a jewelry store.
You gotta keep low profile.
Gotta work at a jewelry store.
I mean, he was in the back, let's be real.
Yeah.
Melissa Flores is with me, though. Who else thinks Thomas is evil? I definitely at one point yelled in this episode, he's playing you guys!
You know, I feel like they could go either way, because with Roz, we thought she was evil. And with him, I don't think I don't think he's evil, so he could be turned in. I don't know.
Like Coulson, though, we were kind of right with Roz. Like, it's not that she was evil, but she was
she
accidentally
didn't know what she was doing.
Yes,
was evil.
But there was enough that like we knew what that she was not up to good.
Yeah. David Harrison ultimately. On the chat would remind us that Thomas is a tank engine. So
that is true. And in some ways,
and
aren't
also,
we all?
He's also a guide.
Yeah.
So he can only really go on one track.
Is that track evil or not?
So is it the little engine that could? No, that's a different thing.
I think so far they've given us no reason. I think Thomas being evil might be an interesting kind of like reveal at the end of like the season or something like that.
Yeah.
Like if Ward dies, perhaps Thomas will show his true colors.
But I feel like we could go the rest of the show without seeing Thomas.
Yeah. That's true.
And we wouldn't really miss anything.
We got the big revelation we needed out of him, that it was Ward who pushed him into the well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, like, but the argument that he could be evil, because everything he says to Ward could be taken one of two ways. Either it is a brother to brother conversation, and that Thomas is just being honest with him, or being raised by a group of sociopaths, Thomas just happens to know what would get under Ward's skin. And seeing as the first bit of contact that he's had with his brother in 15 years is people pointing a gun to his head,
yeah,
he probably wants to probe a little bit.
And I think Thomas might actually... One of the things that might hurt Ward the most about Thomas is Thomas was raised in the same family. He interacted with the family the exact same way. And Thomas is not a bad guy. I think making him bad kind of takes away from his power over Ward.
Yeah.
Because Ward always justifies his actions through the fact that he had a screwed up family, and of course he was going to turn out this way because his dad would beat him and his mom was an alcoholic, all this stuff. And Thomas is proof that no, Ward, it's at least a little bit your fault. Like you have to take responsibility for your actions, because I turned out fine. I'm hiding in the back of a jewelry store. I'm looking over some stuff. We didn't see what it was.
Stop lying to yourself. You lit our parents on fire. On fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they would have shown...
His dad was using a walker.
Aww. Yeah. What was he going to do?
I feel like they would have shown like a couple of seconds of Ward and Thomas like on the same page if they were to... Thomas in the evil route tonight. I don't know.
It could still go either way. And I like that we never got confirmation. I love how ambiguous Bobby was anytime she said anything semi-comforting to Thomas. Like, he wouldn't have really shot me, right? Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants it.
We'll be in touch.
Can we talk about the ending of the episode?
Yes.
Everything's converging.
Everything just comes to this crazy head with Malik convincing Ward that leading the charge to this planet is the best thing he could do. And again, Malik shows how great of a manipulator he is by going, John Garrett, getting you to believe in Hydra was the best thing he could have done for this organization.
He's appealing to Ward's desire to be that hero, but now in a totally different setting.
Well, it was cool seeing the parallels of Malik rallying his troops versus S.H.I.E.L.D. Director Mack rallying his new troops with Joey and Lincoln now on the team. Now,
Secret Warriors 3.
I'm so excited to see Joey in action.
Yeah.
I love that Daisy was like, maybe I'll get my team after all.
Yeah.
I immediately thought, just to comics nerd out for a second, Jesse will understand this. Do you think that if we do move forward with a Secret Warriors storyline, Lincoln is clearly the Hellfire or Hell...
Whatever that dude's name is.
Yeah. he's clearly filling that role.
Yeah.
Do you think Joey feels like the druid role?
Maybe.
Sebastian, where, like, the whole thing was that he was in, and then he had, like, they had to kick him out. Oh, yeah, that's right, Joyce, you read the books.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the names, though.
That was Sebastian Druid, the guy who basically just flunks out.
But the guy that you're... paralleling with Lincoln is JT.
Yeah, JT.
Yeah, it's like Hellraiser.
That's
yeah.
something else.
Anyway. I liked seeing them both there, and the implications of what the dynamics of that team could be are very interesting.
Yeah, and now that Mac channeling Director Coulson and using his own words to rally the troops, now it's Joey's turn to go. It's my first day.
Yeah, I know.
It's my first day.
That's
like,
what I said during that scene. At least Lincoln. Was that Mac reminded me of Fury in Secret Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, I think one other, just a total side comment, is that when Ward was talking to Gemma, saying, I like this whole Furiosa thing you got going, we all kind of went, you had time to go to the movies?
I mean, he picked the right movie to see, but still.
At some point, Ward took time out of his busy schedule recruiting Hydra and trying to rebuild Hydra from the ashes to sit down and watch Mad Max Fury Road.
But is it... But okay, so Furiosa is not... I didn't see the original. Is Furiosa not a character in the original?
No, just in Fury Road.
That's why I was like, it's an old movie, though.
No. Yeah. No. Furiosa.
Furiosa's brand new.
And she's wonderful.
And she's fantastic.
Anyway.
Someone on the chat was like, what about Multiple Girl? I mean, she's still dealing
with
feeling death.
She's still recovering,
but she would be a great.
Addition. She's also like a trained fighter, which Lincoln and Joey are not.
There's also an interesting thing some of the people were talking about. I'm going to save it for news and gossip.
Okay.
Related to this discussion.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay,
yeah,
so
stay tuned. We'll talk about it.
So Fitz has agreed in so that they stop torturing Gemma in a scene very, very similar to Harry Potter. He has agreed to go onto the planet with them, and so Ward and him and their troops go onto the planet in the middle of the giant death sandstorm doodad, and simultaneously Director Coulson, or Sam ex-Director Coulson,
acting,
I guess,
not acting
Director Coulson, in true Captain America fashion, jumped out of a plane and dove into the god dang portal like a boss.
As soon as he's like, no, and he's like, moves towards the front, I'm like, no way he's gonna like try to jump it.
I thought he's gonna try to
run in there and jump in the portal.
Yeah.
But there's definitely not enough time for him to do that.
I thought they were still really far away. Like, far away enough where he couldn't do that.
Well, like, I knew they were above it, like in the air above, but I didn't think there was any way for him to get into the castle and into the room in time.
Like, there's conveniently an opening.
Yeah, right. I figured the room that they would need to keep it enclosed to get the right frequency, right?
I think that's partially related to it, is that, like, sometimes having an opening like that is what you need.
We need
science.
Structure, what is it? Like, the structure sort of acts as like a tuning fork type?
A little bit like that.
You need
openings and you need things closed depending on what frequency you're trying to do. It's like when you do the ring around.
We need someone with science to explain this to us.
Fitz, why did you jump through our portal? We need you to explain to us how resonance frequency works.
So, but as soon as he dives in, he falls down a hill.
I think he pops his parachute first. Because I was thinking about the physics of it. And if he goes into the portal going at terminal velocity, that means he's popping out of the portal at the same speed.
With higher gravity.
So, but still, that means he's popping out of that portal and, like, launching into the air.
And he's now suffered, you know, a blow to the head. He probably has a concussion now.
Yeah.
At the very least.
I kind of wanted to see him, like, with his best, like, Supergirl pose, like, with his arm posters. And
I thought he was
going to
uppercut through it.
And he comes through.
That would have been hilarious.
A shining uppercut through the portal right toward.
Instead, he hits his head.
With his left hand, and it just shatters into screws and bolts. And Coulson's left hand back there is like, yay!
That could have been me!
The left hand that's holding on to the thing just slowly just goes...
Thumbs up. Oh, that would be great. But unfortunately, that's not where we're left, and we're left with a total cliffhanger. And we are now back at the Death Planet, and bad things are no doubt going to happen.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Closing in on Hydra. And Death Planet Time.
Death Planet Time. And I personally think it would be poetic justice if members of Hydra were killed by a tentacle monster. But sure. That's just me.
That is poetic justice.
That is. So is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we move into news and gossip? Because there is a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There's a lot to unpack.
I say we just get into it.
All right.
It was a bad day for phones.
So there are two bits of news. First thing, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago about Iron Fist. We weren't sure whether or not it was going to remain a series or if it was going to become a, you know, film on Netflix. And Jeff Loeb, I believe you mentioned, confirmed that it is going to stay a Netflix series.
I think it was Jeff Loeb. I know that somebody official at Marvel confirmed it. And Megan, you had an inside source confirm
that,
right?
Yeah, well, a couple weeks ago we did have somebody tweeted us directly who works at Marvel, who was like, hey, just to let you guys know, big fan, but keep this on, you guys can talk about this, but keep me out of it, basically was the long and short of that. So thank you to our anonymous tipster.
Thank you, tipster.
I wish we had gotten to talk about it sooner, but we took a week off, and now it's old news.
The tipster.
But we do appreciate it, and we love that you're watching, and you know who you are. We love you. Thank you so much. So Iron Fist is still going to have his series on Netflix. That's great.
Yeah,
so excited.
More S.H.I.E.L.D.-related news. And you guys in the chat room alerted me to this. I don't remember who it was. I apologize, but thank you. But I got confirmed from Screen Rant. It's still not confirmed. It's a rumor.
Yeah.
But according to Screen Rant, S.H.I.E.L.D., they have cast Natalia Cordova Buckley to play Slingshot, a.k.a. Yo-Yo Rodriguez. Who is one of the Secret Warriors.
Yes. And she's,
we're getting a team together!
I think she's one of my favorite characters.
And she's super cool.
Yeah.
Someone,
she's really young in the story, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a teenager.
Someone in the chat, and I agree, if they cast Phobos, the son of Ares, god of fear, I will freak out for a week.
Yeah.
I will have a week of freaking out.
Phobos is an amazing character. I can't...
And Ares is an amazing character.
Yeah, which is why I don't know how they could possibly do Phobos.
Know.
But they could get... But Yo-Yo is a very accessible, very good character to pull in.
That's
and
so
they could
exciting.
Bring in Crusher Creel's son as well.
That would be great. I would love to see him.
Well, and that's a good thing, because right now Daisy's the only member of the of Secret Warriors who happens to be a female character on the show right now.
Yeah.
So I'm all in favor of getting more female superheroes on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
When we were talking about Secret Warriors earlier, I was like, that would be cool if they brought Yo-Yo on.
There
or
you go.
Equivalent,
yeah.
And then we just get this bit.
Yay!
Yeah. That's so exciting.
We should probably move on to the big news.
That little teaser trailer they put out.
In case you guys didn't hear, there was a little bit of a blurb of news last week about the trailer for Civil War dropping, and it's not that big of a deal. I don't know about you guys. I don't think
I've only seen it like once or 100 times.
Yeah. No. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you guys rate the trailer?
I mean,
I rate it 10 Black Panthers out of 10 Black Panthers. I say this on every podcast I do, but like, I can't believe we're seeing Black Panther in real life.
For
we're
like
seeing
a second.
T'Challa. I don't care. He's such a cool character, and now he's in the world.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
One second that we saw him, he bitch slapped the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Well, he's also in the part where he's running on the cars away from Captain America.
Yeah. I mean, he's just such a cool character, and it's so,
and the costume looks great.
Yeah,
like, it's one thing
so
to see
good.
Concept art and to see a character poster, and it's a different thing to see a character running around and punching and dodging
it's,
and doing all these other things.
It looks really good. I love that we saw. We get a bit of like how they're going to adapt this into the MCU when you see the Sokovia Accords drop on the table. They don't need a new like crazy like incident within this movie like they had in the books with the nuclear explosion. They could just
it's the
events of Ultron affecting the world. It's perfect, and I like what that's going
to
do.
And like the introduction of Wakandia into the Marvel universe only helps it.
Yeah.
Only helps expand it. Only helps give us more storylines. Give us more places to explore or characters to explore. Like on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we could have someone from Wakandia like Wakanda. Be a Wakanda, be a representative like of Wakanda it with S.H.I.E.L.D. Like that's a very easy way to tie in.
I'll bet you that we'll see that. That'd be a great tie-in right before Civil War is to sort of get, and that would be a great way to introduce more just movie TV fans to the concept of Wakanda. We got a little bit in Ultron, but that would be a great way to put it together.
What I'm wondering is that if they're going to do what they did with Winter Soldier in terms of plot, because Winter Soldier was... I want to say that the marketing did an excellent job of not giving away the twist. Thank you. This is probably the best thing... Like, as marketing wise, Marvel has ever done was not give away the Hydra twist. And so I'm wondering if they're not sort of going for the same thing where what we get in the trailers and the TV promos and all that other stuff is the personal stakes. And the personal stakes in Winter Soldier was, oh my gosh, this is my friend who's come back and I'm trying to find my place in, you know, this modern world and everything like that. It was the very personal stories. So I'm wondering if by presenting the whole friendship aspect of this, you know, bonds with Tony Stark dissolving, trying to reconnect with Bucky, if that's what's being presented to us so that we don't see the next big freaking bomb that they're going to drop on
us. Well, I'll bet you the next trailer is going to be very similar, but entirely from Iron Man's side of the equation.
I bet it will,
by that, after that trailer, you're like, oh yeah, they shouldn't be. They should be locking them away.
This is not good, no matter how you listen.
And I'm glad again, only for a second, but Scarlet Witch is there again. That's so nice to see her.
We saw Scarlet Witch. We didn't see people. The people we didn't see were very interested because we didn't see Vision. Mm-hmm. We didn't see
Spider-Man.
Well, we didn't see Spider-Man, but we knew that they were all on there. Somebody told me you could see webs in the background. and Ant-Man, at least. He was too small to see if he was there.
If he was there.
I mean, it's disappointing that we don't see, like, Daredevil or, like, Luke Cage or Jessica Jones. I mean, it's too much to ask for. Too much. I can't live in that world.
We know none of them are going to be there.
Yeah. They're kind of all dealing with their own stuff.
I'm still holding out hope, even though I know that it's unlikely. I'm holding out hope that someone from S.H.I.E.L.D. will make an appearance in Civil War.
Could you imagine it's so
intricately woven between the two that I would find it shocking if somebody doesn't at least appear.
I say we get our anonymous Marvel tipster to let us know if a S.H.I.E.L.D. actor is going to show up.
I mean, it's so difficult with, like, movie rights and, like, all of the contracts. It's super difficult to do.
I get it. And that's the thing. It's like, I understand the complications.
It would make sense.
It's Disney.
Yeah.
You've got lawyers.
Yes, we do.
there's a lot more to discuss. A great place that you guys can hear more in-depth discussion about this is tomorrow on our sister network Popcorn Talk, Marvel Movie News. Those guys are going to, I know they're going to be doing like
a breakdown.
They've got so much to unpack.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much to talk about. We could spend the next hour talking about this stuff, and unfortunately we can't because it's 11:10 at night. And we
it's 11:10?
Yeah. We've already gone 10 minutes over. So, yeah, there's so much. The release date is May 6th, 2016. It's going to be epic.
It's
going
to come so quickly. I cannot wait.
Yeah. It looks dark and gritty and awesome. Yeah. But also at the same time, heart-wrenching. Just the whole, he's my friend, so was I. What the hell?
I think Guardians comes out not too long after that.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Or am I thinking it's 2017 or 2016?
I think
it's 2017.
You know, I think you're right. Never mind.
Well, we could spend the next hour talking about this. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on real quick before we move into predictions
and wrap up? Let's get there. All right, let's talk about
predictions.
And now,
Guardians of 2017.
Predictions.
I always feel like the studio is haunted.
The guest is dead.
So, like I said, my prediction is that Hydra agents get killed by the evil tentacle monster, and I'm secretly hoping that the Inhuman actually looks like Pinhead and just kills all of Hydra. That would be super. That would be super.
I am going to say that this we're going to go big pie in the sky. I'm going to say Will kills Ward, and Will is Hydra for sure. And possibly Will might be the ancient evil that's on that planet.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think he's the ancient evil because I have a theory about that.
But he might be possessed by it now.
Well, no, but I think you're absolutely onto something with Will is Hydra. Like, he wouldn't mention that after all that time. Like, what's he going to whisper, Hydra, to the first woman he sees? Like, that's a little creepy.
Exactly.
Even if you don't know everything that's going on the other side. But Hydra would have been able to wipe any records of him that Fitz was digging through.
For sure.
Yeah. Especially because he seemed like such a Boy Scout. So did Ward. Ward seemed like a Boy Scout, and he was with Hydra.
And I mean, we had someone talk about it, I think, on the YouTube channel last time. But there is an Inhuman that existed before and was the king of the Inhumans.
You beat me to it, but
before
a lot of
we had a lot of people talking about
what was his name. I'm trying to remember.
Was he a pharaoh?
I can't remember.
No, his name was like,
because somebody threw out something about
his name.
Pharaoh
was something weird, like the nothing or something like that. Like it's like a weird, but he was the king before our current rulers of the Inhumans, and he was super powerful and super evil. And that might be who they're introducing, because they don't really need him for the Inhuman movie probably, but they could use him here.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
And or the evil is just a giant door.
Here's
the unspoken.
The unspoken. There we go.
I was trying to find. And then my brain kicked in.
Now, here's a question. Since this is the last episode we're going to get before the winter break.
No, next week.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Next week. This next one is the last one we're going to get before the winter break. Where we'll, thank goodness, Agent Carter's coming back to help fill the void in our hearts. What do you guys think is the likelihood that we'll actually get to see this alien, that this Inhuman? What are the odds that we'll actually get to see it, or do you think we'll cut to black right before it's revealed?
Oh, I think very good. I think we'll see it by the end of next episode. I would predict that we're going to know what the Hydra monster is.
And that's where they'll cut it off.
And whether that's the unspoken, I mean, even as I say it, like, it makes sense in the terms of the Inhuman story.
Yeah.
It doesn't connect with me at the same time in terms of the Hydra story. It's such a weird pick for Hydra.
If it's just a random person, like a random Inhuman that just looks like a normal human does, like Daisy and Lincoln and Joey, it's going to be really underwhelming. It's just like, it's a guy.
I will say that to back up more of our Zodiac things, and this is sort of a random thing, but I was reading Amazing Spider-Man number 3 as my computer dies, and they brought Zodiac back in this really weird way where they're all like, Taurus is actually like a bull.
Interesting.
But they made note of the fact that Nick Fury's brother is probably the head of the Zodiac. And the way that Marvel does things with the books these days is they very much put stuff in there. They like hide these little factoids so that people that maybe haven't read Secret Warriors know that fact and can bring it in. So it would be interesting to find out that Nick Fury had a brother, and it would be within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I think that could be a really interesting twist to find out, if this is Zodiac, to find out that these people are are really, really connected to S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything that's going on.
Yeah, and really dug into the Inhuman world as well.
Yeah. Nick Fury is an Inhuman?
Oh, my God.
There's a lot that could happen next week. There's a lot that happened this week, and I imagine that it's just going to be just as intense. Just as intense and just as crazy as it was this week, if not more so.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that just about wraps it up for this evening. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we get played out?
No, I think that's it. We
I'm
said
like
our
emotionally
piece.
And physically
yeah, I'm just drained, guys. Well, thank you guys so, 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 so much for tuning in. Thank you to everybody on the hashtag, everybody on the live chat. We loved, loved, loved hearing from you. Again, if you haven't already done so, rate, subscribe, leave a comment on iTunes, all that fun stuff.
We
want to crush scandal.
Please do.
Please do. Jesse Klein, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, at JessKlein1. I'm here tomorrow at 3 doing Jessica Jones.
Woo!
Yeah. And then I'll, as soon as Agent Carter starts, the two-hour premiere, I believe it's the 19th.
No, it's the 5th.
The 5th? The 5th.
Oh, it's super soon.
Super soon.
The 5th of January.
Yeah. The two-hour premiere, I'll be doing that. I do live comedy all over Los Angeles. You can find me doing that as well.
Yeah, catch me with Jesse tomorrow on Jessica Jones. And if you're a big Grimm fan, this week's going to be a really fun episode. Be sure to tune in live on Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Sweet. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I've got some behind-the-scenes snaps of us here on the channel, and they're kind of fun usually, so check that out. And The Walking Dead is over for the midseason, but you can catch me on Sunday nights of The Walking Dead when it comes back, and Shameless when it comes in next year. So, yeah.
Fun stuff. Guys, I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And on Instagram. I keep forgetting. But I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sunday nights, Z Nation, all that fun stuff. I also write articles for the movie Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you again to everybody for making this a fantastic episode for us to watch. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
They definitely said the 5th.
Yeah.